With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to the Wisdom Ashes Daily Podcast, brought to you by Travel Bag, creating holidays packed full of exciting memories since 1979. Another rain effect today at Lord's meant that only 24.1 overs were possible today. I'm Yaz Rana, and with me on the phone for a slightly shorter than usual episode is the magazine editor of the Wisdom Cricket Monthly magazine, Joe Harmon. How's it going, Joe?
All right, Yaz. Yeah, kind of frustrating there at Lord's. A really fascinating first session, but I think we all knew, having looked at the forecast, that it was going to be a shortened day. And actually, I think we got a bit more cricket in today than I thought we might, looking at the forecast this morning. But yeah, frustrating to leave it in a very kind of delicately poised situation.
Stuart Broad and Jofra Archer have combined figures of 3 for 44 from their 26 overs, but you don't think they started very well today?
No, I thought they were a bit short. I thought Archer tended to kind of go a bit leg side, take some of the pressure off the batsman. It wasn't like they were leaking runs particularly, but they just, in those conditions, they looked absolutely perfect, and they looked absolutely perfect for Chris Wokes, and that was the frustration. It wasn't that Broad and Archer bowled terribly. I just kept thinking, with Wokes with the ball in his hand here, on a ground we all know he bowls so well at, in those conditions, it seemed like an easy choice for me this morning. And obviously, it kind of looked that way when Wokes came on and immediately looked so dangerous.
Yeah, if you look at the scorecards, England took 3 wickets, stemmed the flow of runs, but maybe it was perhaps an opportunity missed. The conditions were perfect for seam bowling.
Yeah, it did feel like that. It felt a kind of a session of two halves, for want of a better cliche, in that England, yes, after 45 minutes or so, 40 minutes perhaps, it really felt like the game was sort of drifting away from them, and there was, because the conditions were like they were, there was a sense that you really had to get Steve Smith out there at that point, not let Bancroft and Khawaja see through that difficult period and really have a go at Smith, and they did eventually get there. They took, what, 2 wickets in 3 balls, was it?
Yeah.
And then it did feel like the floodgates might open. They bowled really well at Travis Head, who had a difficult time out there, and was eventually got out by Stuart Broad. Smith still is there, looking even. I think he was even more bizarre today. Was that your impression? He was doing some slightly kind of strange pirouettes on the pitch, even more so than we've become used to.
Yeah, I think his leaves are becoming more and more extravagant as we get through the series. But he looked quite solid again when the ball was moving around.
Yeah, he did. There's no other way of looking at it. It looked like a case of let's just get the other 10 guys out. England looked well on course to do that when the rain came just before lunch. And obviously it looked like they had Matthew Wade there, which would have been a really big wicket at that point, but just pitching outside leg stump from Ben Stokes, so he got that reprieve.
I saw a tweet, I can't remember who it was from, somebody asked, would you rather, as an England fan, have Australia 100 for 6 with Steve Smith at the crease or 100 for 3 with Smith out? I think, for me, 100 for 3 with Smith gone.
I think that's right, isn't it? That sounds absolutely bizarre, but I think you are right, especially when you look at what else is around him. I think as an England fan, I probably would take that 100 for 3.
Ben Jones wrote something on Wisdom.com today on Cameron Bancroft. He's not past 15 yet this series. He's looked all at sea at times. He's getting hit a lot. Ben wrote, under cloudy skies and floodlights on a grisly morning at Lord's, batting was never going to be easy. At times, Bancroft made it look impossible. Conditions were tricky, but Ben's point was that in Burns and Harris, Joe Burns that is, Australia have 2 tried and tested alternatives. What did you make of his knock today?
Well, we should say that his 13 today is actually the highest score by an Australia opener in this series, so perhaps he deserves a pat on the back. They're having a horrible time. Warner's obviously not in good touch. Obviously, Warner's pace is not under threat by any means. But Bancroft, yeah, it is a difficult one, because he actually, his best innings, I thought, for Australia, certainly that I've seen, was the 80-odd in there was a sense that actually the ban had happened and he comes back into side and builds on that, but that's not really taking into account Marcus Harris having what I thought was quite a promising home series against India. I think he was top of the averages and their highest run score.
Yeah, he scored the most runs in the series against Bumrah and Shami.
Yeah, and then obviously had a quieter time against Sri Lanka, but then it's an odd one because Burns scored runs in against Sri Lanka which have almost been discounted because they were weak opposition, whereas Harris's failures against Sri Lanka have been taken into account very, very seriously, it seems. I think, and also if you look at the weight of runs he scored in Sheffield Shield cricket, I think Harris is unlucky not to be in this team. I don't know enough about his technique against the moving ball to say he would be hugely more successful than Bancroft. Perhaps that's not the case, but it did seem he did seem unlucky not to start this series. And the question now is, how long are they prepared to stick with Bancroft? And the answer is probably as long as they keep winning. I think, well, we'll come on to the match situation here, and we think there'll be a result. I think Bancroft will probably keep his place until Australia lose, unless it gets really dire later on in the series. And Langer really backs him, particularly, I think, not that this should really come into account, but I think it will a bit, even subconsciously, is that Bancroft has been through so much to bring him back into the side. I think they will want to give him every chance to succeed.
Yeah, that's a fair point. How do you see tomorrow and the rest of the test going? The WinViz predictor has a draw at only 43%. So WinViz thinks that we're more likely to get a result than not.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it's far for me to question the CricViz algorithms, but that surprises me. In my mind, as I left stores in the drizzle today, I thought that's probably a draw. I think if England to get a result, they basically have to have Australia out pretty much by lunch tomorrow. It's a real shame. Basically, if there are 3 days left in this test match, we'd be, I think, primed for an absolute cracker. 2 days left, to me, seems like there's not enough cricket left to get a proper result. But then that said, these are two pretty flimsy batting lineups. We know they can kind of disappear in no time. So there is a chance. But perhaps this is the time to start calling for 6 day test matches, yeah.
What's your prediction for tomorrow? The weather forecast looks better.
My prediction for tomorrow, I thought England after that slightly iffy start, I thought they bowled really well. I thought Ben Stokes was brilliant, his first over against Steve Smith, which first ball against Steve Smith was an absolute pearler. But then he put together a fantastic over, almost had Matthew Wade. So my sense was, by the end of that session, England's bowlers really on their game. So I do expect England to rattle through Australia fairly quickly tomorrow morning, Steve Smith being the exception to that, obviously. And then it's over to England to see if they can score runs quick enough in a way to set up a run chase that they can't afford to give Australia any chance to take a 2-0 lead in the series. This is why I think it's difficult to see anything other than a draw, because England are going to have to make either collapse quickly or make quite an aggressive declaration, which might be foolhardy when there's still so much cricket left to come this summer.
All set for Jason Roy then?
Well, absolutely, and there is a sense that this England side are much better placed to do that than they are to block out a final day. I mean, undoubtedly their players are better suited to that. So maybe freeing them up a little bit might not be the worst thing.
Thanks for that, Joe. This has been the Wiz and Ashes Daily Podcast, brought to you by Travel Bag, creating holidays packed full of exciting memories since 1979.
Sports Social Podcast Network.